Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." I've always wondered what the stones would have said. Would the rocks join in the crowd's chorus as they chanted lines from Psalm 118, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord"? There's a power that is loose in the world in this story. Jesus knows it. The crowds can sense it. Maybe even the rocks are clued into it. There's an energy and an excitement, and it's palpably coursing through the city. Maybe it felt a little bit like worship this morning. But in a little less than 5 days, the excitement will fade, and the shouts of Hosanna will change to crucify him. It's a pretty quick turn of events to move from joy to anger and despair, from adulation to agony in just over 100 hours. You kind of have to wonder, why did it go down like this? Every Palm Sunday, I find myself wondering, how did we get there from here? How did the joy and the celebration of Palm Sunday shift so quickly to grief and despair and death of Good Friday? We could say, and it would be historically accurate to do so, that Jesus was killed by state-sponsored violence. We could respond to the question of why did Jesus die simply by stating that he was a threat, a potential insurrectionist, and the powers that be had no interest in seeing the kind of power that he had continue to grow. We could also say that Jesus died because he was a challenge to the norms of contemporary religious society. He pushed on the boundaries of who was in and who was out. And it made folks uncomfortable. Throughout all of the Gospels, the religious leaders of the day are struggling to make sense of what Jesus says, what he does, the people that he spends time with. And as the Gospels describe, the religious leaders are often confused by Jesus' teachings. And they see the things that he does as affronts to the religious and societal norms. So that could be how we get there. Or we could simply say that Jesus didn't meet anyone's expectations. When Jesus rode into town, his followers and the people in power saw in him a potential conquering hero, or maybe some kind of guest of honor in a royal parade, or maybe a king of the common folk coming to exercise his reign. But his followers, the crowds, the people in power, even you and I, We never really grasp the fullness of what Jesus is up to. We can never understand the full nature of Jesus' power, what it means to say that he's a king, what kind of authority he wields. And we can't quite fathom that he seems to be willing to give it all away. In fact, he actively chooses again and again to share it, to give his very life away for us. You see, as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, he's not just claiming the kingdom of Israel or some small portion of the Roman Empire. Jesus is laying claim to authority over every sphere of human existence. And he does it not with displays of power or by dominating others, but by entering fully into human life, experiencing the full range of what it means to be one of us, experiencing the pain and the isolation, the abandonment, even our death. He takes all of this into his own life so that you won't ever have to experience it alone, so that nothing in this life is apart or separate from God's own life. Jesus gives himself away so that we might know the lengths and the depths and the breadth of God's love for you. Jesus shows us that he will pay any cost, go anywhere, give anything so that you might never be alone. Jesus does all of this so that you might know forever that God is with you, for you, and a part of you. Thanks be to God. Amen.